Parshas Yisroi, one can argue, is probably the most important parsha that separates the Jewish nation through the generations from the rest of the world. I mean, this is where we have the Torah, this is where you have HaSinai. It's a very, very important parsha. And interestingly, the parsha is introduced with, according to some opinions, a totally, seemingly irrelevant introduction. There's Machlekes in the Gemara whether the Yisroi came before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. It's Machlekes Tanoim. And it's Machlekes in Metzius. When did he come? Did he come before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? If Yisroi came after Matan Torah, then obviously we have to ask ourselves, why is it that this whole story of Yisroi comes before Matan Torah? Why is it deliberately brought in a non-chronological order if clearly Yisroi came after Matan Torah? So there's two things. First of all, why is it out of order? And second of all, why bring it in such an important parasha? Yisroi came and he came. What's the idea behind that? Furthermore, Vayishma Yisroi. You have to understand why he came. Vayishma Yisroi. Yisroi heard. He heard. What did he hear? Says Rashi. Mashmu Hashama Ubo. What did he hear? And he made him come. Kriyas Yamsuf Mechemes Amalek. He heard those two things. Now you have to understand, you're dealing over here with a world-shattering event. This is not some closed, classified information over here. This was a world-shattering event. Kriyas Yamsuf, every person's teacup split. Yeah, everybody knew what's going on. Mechemes Amalek was an incredible, incredible fight that completely decimated an anti-Semitic nation, first anti-Semitic nation, out to kill Kaisrael, and it's done through an incredible way. It's done through Nissim and Niflois. Right? So why did Vishma Yisroi, why did he hear and come and nobody else? What happened to everyone else? The Pasuk says in the Shira, Oz Nivalolu for Edoim, Eile Boy, Vesed Rad, Moigu Kalesha Kanan, everyone feared and trembled and nobody came, just Yisroi came. Why did he come? So he heard Mechemes Amalek. Nobody else came, Kriyas Amalek. Kriyas Amalek, what's going on over there? Furthermore, the way it's introduced as Koyhein Midyon, Chosim Moshe is a little bit strange. Koyhein Midyon is the concept of Koyhein Midyon is brought down that he was ultimately the greatest authority in Avodah Zorah in the world. He was a pope, the Dalai Lama, the Archbishop of Canterbury, the, you name it, put it all together, mix it all up, and that's Yisroi. He'd been through everything. He had worn most t-shirts anyone has ever worn. Yeah, he must have a supply at home, all different photo ops, all different places, and in the monasteries and in churches. He knew everything. So we call him Koyhein Midyon, the Koyhein of Midyon. It's not so nice. Gemara says it's also, it's forbidden to antagonize or to upset a person who's a Baal Tshuva and say, remember where you came from? And here, all the way through the Torah, it's called Koyhein Midyon, the priest of Midyon. Why do you call him priest of Midian? Give him the credit that he's the one, the first and only person who came from all the people in the world to Gairis, to Klal Yisrael. He came. Give him the credit. Why call him Koyhein Midyon? And then he's talking about Chosim Moshe. We know who's Chosim Moshe. That's the parasha before and parasha Shemois. What's going on over here? So the Kotzker Rebbe says a very, very important thought. And he says, the end of the pasuk explains everything. He says, Eis Kalasha Osa Lekim, Le Moshe Uli Yisrael. All that Kodesh Baruch Hu did to Moshe and Yisroel. Now, whenever you talk about a group of people, and then you want to identify an individual in the group, you first talk about the group and the individual. The Jewish people and Moshe. Why do we say, it's Kodesh Osa Lekim Le Moshe, to Moshe, and to Klal Yisroel? Moshe was a prat, he was an individual. You should say Yisroel, and to Moshe within Yisroel. You first speak about the Klal, then the prat. Why the prat, then the Klal? So he says like this. He says, Yisroi was a Koyhein Midyon. Koyhein Midyon is a person who was completely and utterly absorbed in Avodah Zorah. He was totally absorbed in Avodah Zorah to the extent that he did not understand how it's possible at all to extricate himself, to take himself out, and to move him to a place where he can be part of an Am Nivcha. He knows that he's so fatumult, he's so mixed up, he's so tumor, he's so involved in everything. How is it shaykh? How is it shaykh for a person like a Koyhein Midyon to come along with Klal Yisroel? The answer is, Eis kol asher osa lekim le Moshe ul Yisroel. That the Klal Yisroel had a schus of anything that happened to Klal Yisroel happened because of the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, to associate yourself with Klal Yisrael, to associate yourself with the Rabbein Shlalom, is something very, very difficult. It's very difficult unless you have a tzaddik, unless you have a Moshe Rabbeinu, who is, because of his chus, Klal Yisrael got what they deserve. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great person, he's able to take a nation who are Menteh Shari Tumah, who are so involved in Tumah, and bring them out as a cohesive nation towards Matan Torah. If that is possible, that we have one person who can be so close to Rabbeinu Shlalom, he can bring everyone up, then I have a chance of completely turning my life around, associating myself with the Talmud Chacham, and that will bring me where I need to reach. It's a Moshe Uli Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael got this chus through Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, although I can't connect myself directly with the Shechina, although I can't directly connect myself with Rabbeinu Shlalom, but if I do it through a tzaddik, if I do it through a Talmud Chacham, do it through a Das Torah, and a good leader and a good Rebbe who's going to teach me how to do it, I have a chance. Therefore, I can make the journey and take myself out from the Kohen Midyon to become a part of Klal Yisrael. So the koyach of Yisrael was an incredible identity of who he knew, where he was at different stages of life, and was willing to jump into an entirely new wavelength, entirely new religion, entirely new way of thinking by associating himself with Talmid Chachamim, associating himself with somebody who knows he can lead him and can treat him correct. In other words, Rabbi said there's a very, very different viewpoint in the world of a religious leader. A religious leader very often is somebody who is separated from the nation, unattached to the nation, and they look up to him. Klal Yisrael, we understand that the chus of associating himself with the Talmud Chacham brings us up to be able to reach levels that we could not possibly reach beforehand. It's the Moshe Uli Yisrael. But what's the idea of Chesed Moshe? What's the idea of Vayishma Yisrael Koyim Midyan Chesed Moshe? What's a Chesed Moshe? What's the idea of Chesed Moshe? So the Chesed Moshe. Chesed Moshe, the father of Moshe. Why is Koyim Midyan Chesed Moshe? Why do you put those two together? The idea is like this. Imagine, you know, you get these Mishpacha magazines, or you get these Chassidish magazines, where you have these Chassidish Chasnas, right? And imagine on the, big Rebbe Shachasna, and you've got all the Spodiks there, and all the Beketchers, and everything else, and the Chosn sits on the top table, and he's sitting there with clean-shaven Ponovitch Abocha. Abocha for Ponovitch, clean-shaven, with his short jacket, and his nice red tie, or white tie, whatever it is, and he sits on the top there. This will cause a sensation like this. What's going on? You know, big Rebbe Shachasna, the Ger Rebbe's making a chasna, the Belzer Rebbe, some Rebbe's making a chasna, everyone's a Shreimluch and Beketchers and Spodiks and who knows what, and he's sitting there dressed like a Litvak. Is Posha not covered? Is Posha is going to cause such a rift? You know, the people are going to look down at the Rebbe. La Havdol, La Alfe Elef Abdolus. Koyen Midyon. Yisroi was the leading authority of Avodah Zarah. The leading authority of world Zara. He was encyclopedic view of every different religion. You ask him how it is, thank gods. That was him. He knew exactly what was going on at every different stage. He was an incredible, incredible Oveda Zara. And who does he take as a son-in-law? He's willing to take the one person who represents the entire antithesis of what Oveda Zara is. The antithesis of all this. Of a nation that comes, that is a monotheistic nation, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's willing to take as a son-in-law. Why? Everyone, imagine what the wedding looked like.
He was looking for the truth.
He is looking for the truth. Yes. He is willing to take a wedding where Moshe Rabbeinu stands there as Yeshiva Bacha, and everyone else has got the Yoshkis, and then who knows what they have, and then the Harry Kishkas, and who knows, and they're dancing, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a son-in-law, but you're Kohen Midyan, it doesn't matter. If that's a good husband, if that is a person who is going to be for my daughter, and I don't care about public opinion, I'm willing to do what is right at any cost. So the ability of Yisroi was twofold. Number one, he was willing to associate himself with good teachers, which means he's willing to be an onov, to listen to teachers. And number two, he is willing to fight off anybody else who's willing to oppose him. So he has two very conflicting middos here. He has an incredible self-determination. He's willing to be totally independent of what people say about him. He's willing to be a chesem Moshe when everyone else is laughing at him. On the other hand, when it comes to learning and how to be great, he's willing to subjugate himself and be an onov and to be a student of Moshe Rabbeinu to learn what's great. So here we have an incredibly great independent mind who's willing to be totally dependent on listening to what has to be said if that's the truth. And that is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
To be what's that? With Sparrow, that was, he was against Sparrow.
He was against Sparrow, he had the ability to stand up against anybody. Exactly. Right? So you have Moshe Rabbeinu who is totally, you have Yisrael who's totally independent, but totally dependent on the right things. This was a koyach of Yisrael. This is something which is very, very rare. But Yishma Yisrael, somebody to be able to do that, to be totally an independent minder who's willing to be totally dependent on listening to what people have to say and follow their words, that is something that you can expect very few people to do. And that's a koyach of Yisrael, that's why he had the koyach to do that. But, later on he missed one thing. And this is something very, very important. People believe that, you know, you have Gedolim and you have Tamilach HaChomim, and unfortunately, people believe that if Klal Yisrael has the Gedolim, then I can really abuse the system. I can reach a stage where I can basically do whatever I want, yeah, be involved in the mafia, be involved in corrupt business deals, and then I have my Rebbe that I pay. Yeah, I have my Rebbe that I pay, and I've got a very good thing, and he gives me the bracha, and I put my kapel on, yeah, and then Bezrat Hashem, I drive my car back on Shabbos, and everything is fine. And everything's fine because I've got my Rebbe, or I've got my Kaver, or I have, and that is, I can do anything I want because I do this, and that's fine. The Pasuk says later on, "Vayisapim Moshe l'choisnoi eis kol asher osa Hashem l'paralim Mitzrayim al oidas Yisrael eis al kol atloa Hashem mitzosam aderech vayitzilim Hashem." Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael everything that happened to Klal Yisrael, as kol atloa, all the bad things as well. Hashem mitzosam aderech, that's referring to Mechemes Amalek, and Hashem saved them. Vayichad Yisrael, and Yisrael was delighted according to one pashat. Yeah, vayichad Yisrael, yismach Yisrael. Yeah, he came very happy. Al kol ha-toiva asher osa Hashem li-Yisrael. On all the toiva Kodesh Baruch Hu did. Why is he getting so delighted? Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, yeah, what terrible things happened to Klal Yisrael, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, yeah, and Hashem saved them. Vayichad Yisrael, Yisrael, why is he so delighted about? Yisrael believed until that stage, that as long as you're associated with the Talmud Chochem, and I'm dependent enough to listen to a Talmud Chochem, am I independent enough to forget about what everyone else says, I'm okay. He missed one point though. He missed a point over here of a Yichad Yisrael, and Dubna Magid said a beautiful moshel. He said there was once a shidduch that took place between a very, very poor side. The Chos side was very poor, and he was called to meet the parents in law on the Kala side. And the Kala side, they came in, and there was this most beautiful home with luxurious furnishings and beautiful dishes and crockery and silver and gold. And it really looked very, very impressive. Chandeliers, it really looked fantastic. And they had a lovely meal and it had good wine and good meat. And obviously the side of the Chosson side was very happy that they were able to be associated with such wealth, because obviously it will help the son go on his way. A couple of months later, before the wedding, they met again in order to deal with the fine details of the wedding. And at that stage, you come back to the house, and the furnishings have been removed, and there's no gold, and there's no silver, and there's no chandeliers, and you know it's very basic. Everything's IKEA, you know, back to right. And the mechutin, the wealthy mechutin, thought that the other side is going to be devastated. That you come and you see everything's gone. So he said, and in fact, he looked at him, he's delighted, he's even happier than he was before. So why are you so happy? He said, "No, I'm so happy, I'll tell you. Beforehand, I thought that all these things you have over here were borrowed or hired. I didn't really believe you can have such wealth. Now that what happened was you had seen nothing in the house, what must have been is that you owe money to people and have taken it as a mashkin, have taken it as a collateral, which means as soon as you pay it back, you'll get everything back again. So now I know it's really yours. Before I didn't know, now I know that in financial trouble they take all away, now I know it's really yours, now I'm much happier than I was before." So Yichad Yisroel, Yisroel thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate source of any good that happens to Klal Yisroel, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he says, it's called Osher Osher Lekim Moshe Yisroel. And therefore, Klal Yisrael are secondary. Moshe Rabbeinu is everything. The Rebbe is everything. The Godel is everything. And Klal Yisrael don't really have too much of a say in all these things. What happens when you lose Moshe Rabbeinu? What happens when Moshe Rabbeinu is not there? Maybe you don't have tzaddikim that level. What's going to happen then? So he told him, no, it's called Tzlo Arsh. Also, the Pasuk says over here, it's called Tzlo Arsh Matzosim Aderech. When Klal Yisrael started to misbehave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started punishing everybody. And everybody got into trouble. And it had Mechemes Amalek, which we see from there, that the source of anything good that happens to Klal Yisrael is really Klal Yisrael. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, once you see that the Klal Yisrael own the Schusim, it's theirs really, then if a Yichad Yisrael, he came that much more happy. In other words, what we said beforehand is three things. Number one, there's a concept of being totally dependent on Das Torah, of following the advice and the guidance of Das Torah. On the other hand, we see the Koyach of Yisrael being totally independent and not caring about public opinion or the outside opinions. He's willing to take a Chesem Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is totally against anything you possibly say. Imagine what the Shabbos table look like. Every time he started saying it about Torah, yeah, Yisrael started challenging him. Every time he started saying something from the New Testament, Moshe Rabbeinu started, it must have been a very labored Shabbos meal, right? And he was willing to be independent, and he's willing to learn, and he's willing to grow, but he believed that everything is Moshe Rabbeinu. No, it is us. We are the source of the blessing. We have the ability to create a reality that the Godlet is able to turn the taps on, but we supply the water. Very, very quickly, we've got a couple of minutes more. There's the Chassan Sefer asks, The Chassam Sefer asks, why did he need Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek? Number one. Why does it say Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek? What could it say? Kriyas Yamsuf and the Nitzachon of Amalek. Why is it Kriyas Yamsuf and the War of Amalek? The War of Amalek wasn't so incredibly inspiring. The fact that Klal Yisrael won over Amalek in this most amazing way is inspiring. What's the idea behind that? So he says, there were two things that happened that Kodesh Baruch Hu switched round. Klal Yisrael were opposed by Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim came to Klal Yisrael with a koyach of what? Of natural force. They came with chariots, they came with an army, they came with warfare, they came with bows and arrows, they came with everything. How did Kodesh Baruch Hu knock them out? With a nes. Klal Yisrael never made war with them. Klal Yisrael didn't make battle, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nes for them. In other words, Teva, which was Mitzrayim, came and fought with Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them, and ultimately he twisted it around and he fought back with Nes, Malam in HaTeva. How did Amalek come with Klal Yisrael? They came with Kishuf, they came with magic. It's brought down Kesamim Beyodom, they came with Kesem, they came with magic, they came with Koyach HaTumah. And therefore they ultimately came with the Koyach of Shleika Derech HaTeva. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu fight them? With Teva. With Teva means HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe and Kolev and he fought them with Teva. What do we see from here? That every single thing a person thinks that is the right way of dealing with something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks is exact opposite. You think it's worthwhile fighting with Teva? No, fight with Nes. You think it's Nes? No, fight with Teva. We are so confused, unless we have clear guidance of what's going on, we don't know what we're going to do. We can laughingly see us in Shrayim and end up with wrong results. Wrong. We should be doing Mechemes Amalek. Mechemes Amalek. In other words, putting both together, he came up with a conclusion that ultimately, unless we have a very fixed and clear guideline of what we should and what we shouldn't do, we are totally lost. And therefore, he needed both Mechemes Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf, which exact opposites, in order to bring him to where he was. But just one more vot, and it's a vot I heard from a very, very special man. It's called Usher Wade. Ever heard of Usher Wade?
Yeah.
Usher Wade was a priest from Germany, and he became a ger tzedek. People said to him, Wade, not a very Jewish name. He said, yeah, now it is, right? So he became a ger, a very, very intelligent, articulate. How did he become a ger? He looked around Germany, and he saw how it's possible that a nation can be so corrupt that you can have... You know, people say, where's God during the Holocaust? The answer is, where's man during the Holocaust? Where you can have a nation that can be so cruel and corrupt and do such terrible, terrible things to people, ultimately there has to be some kind of clear defining line of what I have to do in order to make sure that I don't become like them. And he searched and he found that Yiddishkeit is the correct way. Yisroi saw Kriyas Yamsuf. And Nisim v'Niflois. After they can have a Mechemes Amalek, after that people don't care at all about seeing Nisim. People don't care about seeing the chosen nation. And they can have such a corrupt idea that you can take the Jewish, they knew they were a chosen nation, and destroy us. I've got to become a Ger. I've got to change my perspective. I've got to make sure that I stick to the right path. And therefore, he did the same path as Usher Wade. He saw how corrupt people can be, where you can have a Kriyas Yamsuf, and then after Mechemes Amalek, when you see a chosen nation, and then try and destroy them because they're the God's chosen nation, I've got to be different. So Yisroel was somebody who's totally, totally unique, but we've got to learn from him. We've got to learn from him, number one, to follow Das Torah. Number two, to be independent of people laughing at us, Chosim Moshe. Number three, we've got to make sure that what we have is an understanding that a Rebbe and a Das Torah is very important, but we've got to make our own efforts. We've got to make sure that we ourselves, our Oides Yisrael, we've got to make sure that we deserve what we get, because ultimately it's not going to help us unless we ourselves make this Chosim. And at the end, we've got to understand that unless we have this guidance, we can have a Kriyas Yamsuf Mechemes Amalek, we can get very, very different ideas. We've got to have one very clearly defined line, which is the Torah. And then, that is introduction to Torah. That is why the Parsha of Yisroi comes before the Torah was given, even though, according to many opinions, the Torah was given before Yisroi came, in order to give us his introductions to how we should accept the Torah, and how we should understand the Torah, because unless we have those lessons clear, we cannot possibly accept the most important part of the Torah, i.e. Kabbalah Satorah.